Just like to say Merry Christmas to you all. Thank you so much for coming. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Dan Kopp. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard, and I'm an East Sider. We're called the East Side Vineyard for a reason. Born and raised on the East Side. Graduated class 91 from Fraser High School. Any Ramblers in the house? Hands up, be proud Ramblers. All right, we got a few. You guys weren't really proud with that. You're like, yeah, you know. But I graduated in class of 91. This really is the most wonderful time of the year. As Jack shared, Christmas Eve for a kid is the longest day of the year. And I wanted to share just a few Christmas memories with you just so you get to know me a little bit better. A rule at our house growing up, I had a brother who was 3 years older than me, and the rule was we could not open up gifts until Mom and Dad were awake. So I would wake up probably around maybe 6 in the morning or so and create like forts with all the wrapped gifts. Like you couldn't open them, but you could kind of play with the boxes that are wrapped. And so I'd make forts and just kind of do that. And then we'd start like walking up and down the hallway around 7 a.m. just to be like, all right, it's time. Mom and Dad would get up. But then the rule was you couldn't open gifts until Dad got the video camera. Right, Dad? He has the video camera again right there. So we can open gifts. But the rule was that even though we were awake for a few hours at that point, we had to kind of like fake it that we just woke up, we're walking down the hallway, and he had to do the eye rub. And then there was the pile of gifts for my brother right there, and we were watching the, my dad made a DVD of those, and Kelly and I were watching those just a few days ago, and it was awesome just tearing into those gifts and seeing yourself as like a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old and just tearing into those presents. Well, that was the way we started our Christmas Day, and then my grandfather's birthday was actually on Christmas Day. He was a Christmas baby. So we always ended the day over at Grandpa Clausen's house, 12 Mile and Hoover, and had some home movies of that as well, and it was just awesome. So that was how, like, fast forward, going in rewind, about 30 years ago, how we spent Christmas. Now, growing up, we have 3 kids of our own, Kelly and I. I'll move to the side so you can see them. Faith, Evelyn, and Elizabeth, ages 4, 2, and she'll be a year. Elizabeth was born on New Year's Day, right in the middle. And they're here today. You may hear them. It's all good. But what I wanted to share with you just a fun story about being a parent with Christmas. As you know, the job for parents is to assemble gifts for the morning. That's what you do. And a couple years ago, we decided that Faith was old enough to get one of those train sets, like the whole thing. Thing with the library, it's all glued down. Ours wasn't, but this is the thing here. And so Daddy spent an hour, some assembly required was like an understatement, right? So I'm, you know, like the whole train set, you guys have seen those rolling around, Thomas the Train, whatever. And so Daddy sent it up for an hour, the whole thing, the whole like world for these trains. And we're like, okay, Faith, come on. She walks in, she's like Godzilla with Tokyo and just like, boom, I'm serious, just like starts grabbing like the... We have it on film to show you. I don't have it, but it was absolutely awesome. So we're like, okay, maybe we jumped the gun there. But those are just some memories of my Christmas is with you, both past and present. So what I want to do today is more of an abbreviated version of what we typically do. We teach from the Bible every single time we gather, and I usually preach about twice as long as I'm going to today because we have our kids in the service, and we don't want to lose them. So I want to talk today, if you pull out your program, it's the gifts Jesus wants for his birthday. That's the title of my sermon. There is a part on the side here, blank, to take notes. If you want to, over the week to process what I've heard, there's some questions that you can dig deep with your family or with your spouse, with your friend, with your small group. And on the backside, there's some books and other things, some Bibles that we would love for you to pick up as well. So the sermon's titled, The Gifts Jesus Wants. And I want to focus on the fact that it's the birthday of Christ today. I mean, tomorrow. That's what we honor. It's the birth of Christ. So I want to focus on and ask the question, what are the gifts that Jesus wants for his birthday? And I want to get there by reading a part of the Christmas story. This is a part that's known as the three wise men, the three kings in the Christmas carols that we sometimes sing. So I want to read this to you out of Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. This is where I'm going to jump off today and then get to the point of what are the gifts that Jesus wants for his birthday. So let me read this to you. After they, and that's the wise men, they heard hey, they heard the king. They went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts. And you guys know these, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Classic part of the Christmas story. A couple things to point out, first of all, is Jesus received three gifts for his birthday, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But what's interesting and something that you may not know, because this is one of those like pop culture things, that he didn't actually receive those on his birth date itself. He got them probably a year or two after that. And let me just hit the pause button here. As I talk about this, the story I'm going to read today, we know this. It's part of our pop culture. And it's so common to us. The Christmas story, baby wrapping swaddling clothes. I hope that what happens for you today, what happened to me, I wake up early every day, and I spend some time with God. I read my Bible every morning, and I decide I'm going to read the Christmas story, Luke 1. I'm reading the Christmas story. I'm just downstairs in my basement in my office, and I'm reading it, and what came along the phrase was reading a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. As soon as I read that, and I was reading it out loud, just this wave of emotion hit me. And it was like I heard it for the first time. And I really hope, again, that God, that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, manger, star, that you experience afresh today the reality that God was born as a baby. And he came to live, to show us the way that pleases God, and to die for our sins. And just that reality, that it's not something that you checked out. Yeah, been there, done that. But that in this moment, just that God would have you understand the story and see it with fresh eyes. See it through the eyes of a child. So I just wanted to say that. So typically, when we have a manger scene, if it's on your Christmas tree or in the front yard, there's typically these kind of, you got Mary, Jesus, and you have his dad, Joseph, right? The shepherds, you have camels, you have sheep. And then there's typically three wise men there too, and you have that, you can kind of picture that, right? So according to pop culture, the three wise men were there on that first Christmas night. You have the huge star above the manger, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, and then at some point they break out into silent night. Right? That's just kind of in your mind, so it works. Now, you know that last part probably didn't happen, but the fact about the three wise men, most likely scholars believe, didn't happen either. That in reality, when those guys showed up, they were not anywhere near the manger the day that Christ was born. Instead, scholars believe that they showed up about a year or two after he was born. And there's clues right in the text that I will prove to you what this is all about. And it's clues in the text we read right past because we're so familiar with the story. So let me read again verse 11, and we'll see if there's some clues that I'm going to point out. On coming to the house, they, the Magi, the wise men, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and they worshipped him. They opened their treasures, presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, if we could keep that up on the screen. Notice it doesn't say this. It doesn't say on coming to the house, they saw a baby with his mother, Mary. It says the word child. And in the Greek, it's there. It's the word child. It's not baby. And it's in there a couple times. And it doesn't say on coming to the manger, on coming to the house. Okay? So scholars believe that the wise men were from the Far East, from about 900 miles east in Babylon. They see the star in the sky, but this is back then, so they can't hop on a plane, train, or an automobile and just kind of go to Bethlehem. They have to do it the old school. They're in camels, and probably took them a year or two. They see the star, they start to follow it, and it takes most likely a year, maybe 2 years, to arrive to see the child Jesus in a house. Jesus at this point is at least 1, maybe 2 years old. And just as a side note, if that interests you at all, there's a sermon that I preached back in March, We Three Kings. It's on the back of your program. You can download it, tvchurch.org. The sermon's We Three Kings. We've been going through the gospel one story at a time, and I preached on this back in March. It was kind of interesting talking about these stories in March, but it worked because we were able to dive deep into the details. And by the way, my action step for you is not to say, okay, if you have the wise men, take them and throw them in the garbage. That is not the action step for the sermon today. If you have them, keep them. We have them, we keep them. The bottom line that I want to share is that Jesus, for his birthday, he got three gifts. Three gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Even though it probably took a while for him to get those gifts. And if you want to process it this way, it's kind of like having an uncle in California who hates the wintertime. So he shows up in June at your house, and he gives you gifts for Christmas. That's kind of what was going on here. So in June or so, say, for example, you get your gifts for your birthday, and that's kind of what happened with Christ. They were giving him his gifts for his birth, even though it happened not on his birth date. Now, what's interesting about this is we know from when you read the Gospels, the biographies of Jesus, Jesus lived a whole lot longer. He died when he was in his mid-30s, and there's no other record of any other birthdays for Jesus. So he lives another, you know, decade after decade after decade. No other gifts given to him for his birthday. No one sang happy birthday to him that we know of. But there's a really cool passage in the gospel that is about the end of the world, where all of us stand before God one day and we give an account for our lives. And in the scripture, Jesus talks about a group of people that give him gifts, not just on his birthday, but every day of the year. So let me fast forward to near the end of his life in chapter 25 in Matthew. Jesus is the king. And here's what the text says. It's amazing language. He says, then the king, Jesus, will say to those on his right, enter you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in his kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation, and here's why. Here's why, he says. I was hungry, and you fed me. He's saying, I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was homeless, you gave me a room. You gave me clothes when I had none. I was sick, you stopped to see me. I was in prison, you came to me. And these people are very confused. Like, okay, Jesus, I don't understand that. You need to help me understand when were you any of these things? So the text continues. Say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you? When did you need a drink? When were you sick or in prison? And when did we come to you? It says, the king will say, this is an amazing text, I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. So at his birth, Jesus received three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He lives until he's in his 30s. No other birthday gifts that we know of. But at the same time, this text tells us that on his birthday or not, people continued to give him gifts. Jesus said that whenever we do good things to someone who's overlooked or ignored, the least of these, Jesus is saying something, he's saying, that's me. You did that for me. We need to chew on that. See, Jesus is saying is that when we help the poor, when we help those in need, those who are overlooked by America, that we, when we give gifts to them, we are giving gifts to Jesus in some way as well. Jesus says, whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it for me. That's a gift you gave me as an adult. Saying, that's what I want for my birthday. Every day of the year. Here's a quote from Phil Yancey. Amazing book. The Jesus I didn't know. Amazing. He says, what might happen? What might happen if all of us took literally Jesus' words about the poor and the needy? What if we took them at face value? By serving them, we serve him. We serve Jesus. Classic quote. We are contemplative order, said who? Right. She tells an American who cannot comprehend her first commitment to the dregs of Calcutta, first we meditate on Jesus, and then we go out and look for him in disguise. Now, she knew what she was talking about because she did that. First we meditate on Jesus, and then we go out and we look for him in disguise. So at his birth, Jesus received three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. At the end of time, he tells us that people continue to give him gifts, not just on his birthday, but every day of the year. These are gifts that Jesus wants us to give him, to bless those who are overlooked or ignored in our world, to show God's love in practical ways to poor and those in need. Our banner here is what our church is all about. In Galatians 5, 6, the only thing that counts, Paul says, is faith expressing itself through love. When we do that, we give a gift to Jesus. On his birthday, not on his birthday, we give gifts to Jesus. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's the gift that Jesus wants us to give him. So we need to remember, right, tomorrow we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ. We don't really, in America, really think about it that way. And as I was processing, say, okay, so it's his birthday. We should do, I think, what we do with any birthday that we do in America, right? It's kind of cool. It's culture. You go to a birthday party. We went to Sarah's birthday party, and she got a bunch of gifts because it was her birthday, and then our girls got some gifts too because that's what you do. It's a birthday, but other kids get gifts as well, even though the child gets the most, right? Everybody gets gifts. When I was, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8, I wanted to see for my birthday The Empire Strikes Back, 1980. And so, I mean, that was it. That was my gift. So I had all my friends over, and I got to see that gift, but my friends got the gift too. Piled in our Dodge Green station wagon with the wood grain side panels, went to Showcase, I think it was, down on Van Dyke. And it was the gift. I got the gift. It was my gift. It was my birthday, but my friends got the gift too. And then we went back home. I wanted heavenly hash cake from Vito's Bakery on the east side, right? So guess what? I got to eat my cake. It was my cake. I got to pick it. But guess what? It wasn't just me eating the whole cake. My friends got a gift too. That's what we need to do. That's how we can frame what it means to be on Christmas. Christmas Day should be like any other day where we celebrate a birthday. Again, we need to remember whose birthday it is. It's Jesus' birthday. So that means he should get some gifts. But then, hey, why not we also exchange gifts as well? Anyone who attends his party, so to speak, gets a gift, at least one. Now, in our culture, we have that part like down to a pat. Black Friday, baby, it's there. So we're focusing all about gifts for everyone else, but then the question is, how about Jesus? I mean, it's his birthday. So what gifts should we give him? I don't think he wants a flat screen, okay? So the question is, what gifts should we give him? So I want to give you just 3 practical ways, and I will be brief with these, but I pray that just something supernatural happens, that God speaks to you in the moment, and that you know, here's the gift, here's a gift idea, something that I can give Jesus on his birthday. 3 gifts. First one, I call it give to the needy. Give to the needy. Everybody for Christmas gets money. Some of you get gift cards, but you get envelopes with cash in them. So something to think about is take some of that money. How much you give is totally up to you. But say, okay, Jesus, what type of gift would you want on your birthday? There's organizations, and you can write them down, but they're also on the side of your program. Love 146, Compassion International, Samaritan's Purse. There's websites. I have hard copy catalogs of them, and they're really cool that you can look, share the spirit of true Christmas with a child in need. And you can go online and say, I want to give something very specific. I want to give a mosquito net to a child in Malawi. And you can do that. And what this text says is when you do that, you just gave a gift to Jesus. Right? If you give someone clean water, a child clean water, somewhere on the other side of the world, Jesus is saying, thank you. Thank you. So it's really cool. Each of those sites, again, you can look them up. They have online catalogs where you can shop and pick and choose. So again, take some money. It's up to you how much. And give Jesus some gifts on his birthday. And I encourage you to do it like maybe tomorrow, maybe at night, maybe like early in the week, Tuesday, because you'll forget. Now, it'll be a belated birthday gift by that point, but I don't think Jesus is going to care. So give to the needy. That's gift idea number one. Second application is open your home. Open your home either tomorrow or sometime over the next week. We all have time off. Be a blessing to someone. Think about it. Who is overlooked. Someone that you, right now, you could be friends with them, but maybe they'll be alone over this next week. Or maybe they're a family, but they don't have any other family in the area. You need to invite them over. Someone who you personally could easily overlook or ignore. It doesn't have to be a poor person, a homeless person. It could be someone in your realm, where you know, people you know. Simply invite them over. Invite them over to spend time with you and your family. As I said that, if a name or a face popped into your mind, trust that's from God and extend the invitation. Say, hey, why don't you come over? Come over tonight. Come over our house. Come over tomorrow. Come over. Just come over. That would be a great gift to give Jesus for his birthday. Because again, what you're doing, you're inviting Jesus over your house. This is the third gift. I want to camp on this one for just a bit longer. And this one is caroling on Christmas. Something that we did a year ago as a church. Kelly and I were just talking. We're like, okay, Faith and Evelyn at the time, we just had them two, and they're getting older, and we're like, we want them to understand the true meaning of Christmas. So how do we do that? We want to put our faith in action. We want to serve. And so it was probably Kelly, because she has all the good ideas, and she's like, hey, why don't we call a nursing home in the area and go and sing Christmas carols with them? I mean, why not? Because even like people who have kids, the morning, they're not going to be at the nursing home. They're going to be in their homes. So grandpas and grandmas, they're all alone. It's Christmas morning. It's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. It can be the most depressing time of the year for them. So why not just show up and just sing with them? Everybody knows the words, at least to the first verse, right? So you print off copies of them, and even if they just want to sit and listen, it was amazing. So we did it last year. It was, I don't even know the name of the place. It was over in Clinton Township. And we went there, and there's a group of us, and the Vandales were there, the DiRanzos made it. So we had a pre-sign up. We've already have enough people to fill up two nursing homes, but we need more people. You can't sing? Good. I can't sing. There's power in bad singing numbers, right? But the idea is this, right? Leave your gifts under the tree for a couple hours. Get out of your PJs, hop in your car, and go to a nursing home. Information with address and everything is in the East Sider. If you pull it out, you can pick one of them. I would encourage you, by the way, Shelby is a lot larger. So if this is brand new and you're like, hey, why don't we do that? Why don't we leave the gifts under our tree and why don't we sing some songs? It'll take like 45 minutes of your day. But if that's you, if you're not signed up, go to Shelby, because Wilmar is real small comparatively, and we're already packed out there. But you can just grab that information, and this is not a guilt thing. This is not like, if you really love Jesus, we'll see you tomorrow. You know, it's not that. It's just saying, no, in that moment, if you feel that nudge of saying, why don't we do that? Why don't we invite the kids, and let's do this? It starts at 10 a.m. Just show up. Just show up. Jesus says, right, according to that verse, when we're singing, we're not singing to the elderly in a home. We're singing to Jesus on his birthday. That's awesome. We're singing songs about him to him. What a great way to celebrate the birth of Christ. And Jesus is saying, hey, you're doing it for me. So again, those are just three gift ideas. Three gift ideas. I trust that God's going to speak to you, that he just puts a nudge in you, and you know what gift you want to give him to his birthday. May you and I remember that tomorrow is his birthday, is the birth of Christ. So may you and I give him gifts. And when he opens them up, I know we'll have as much joy as he does. Would you bow your heads and let me pray? Happy birthday, Jesus. Thank you. God, I pray that, just as I preached, that folks here just sensed a nudge in their spirit that they know what to do, what gift to give you. I know you'll be pleased by whatever they give you. God, may we have a blast tomorrow opening gifts, just celebrating your birth, but may we not forget you in the process. Thank you, Jesus, for just the kids, and I look forward to how they're going to teach us more what gifts Jesus wants for his birthday just later on in the service. May we learn from the children afresh today about the true meaning of Christmas. Thanks, Jesus. Amen.